Would you pray with me? Father, we are grateful for your grace and your gift of salvation to us through faith in Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, that your Spirit would quicken our hearts to the truth of your word, that you would move in us today for your glory. And Lord, we just invite you to work in our lives right now in this moment, that you would produce the fruit of your Spirit coming forth from our lives so that others might see and know Jesus Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I love being a farmer. Anybody else out there love farming? I love being a farmer. I love the tools of the trade. I love being a farmer. In fact, I like hanging around other farmers talking about farming. I'm a part of a co-op. We get together regularly, talk about farming. I love hanging out with my fellow farmers. I like to study about all the ways I can be a better farmer. I love being a farmer. Now, I will tell you, admittedly, I have not yet made it out into a field and planted any seed and done any work in, but I love being a farmer. I really, really do. Now, you know I'm not a farmer. Not at all. I just want to follow Christ. That's why we're here, right? We just want to follow Christ. And we cannot afford to be experts in following Christ without being first and foremost practitioners of simply and actually following Christ. There is not a title that you will ever attain that will compensate for simply following Jesus Christ. I want today with you to be exhorted by the Word of God to simply and actually follow Jesus. So let's look at God's Word together in 2 Timothy chapter 2, where we hear Paul's exhortation to Timothy, God's exhortation to us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, you, my son, keep on being strengthened in the grace which is in Christ Jesus, and which you also heard from me through many witnesses. Entrust or lay these things before faithful men who are able, who are competent, who will be competent to also teach others. Paul has explained to Timothy what his life is like following Christ through various descriptions in chapter 1. And he says, hey, I want you to know that if you endeavor to simply follow Christ, you need to keep on being strengthened in the grace of God. I love that there is nothing more complicated in following Christ than relying completely and totally on the grace of Jesus Christ. And Paul is encouraging Timothy, the Word of God is encouraging each one of us to continually be strengthened in the grace of Jesus Christ so that we might be simple followers of Christ. My dad and I, we love to fish together. I love hanging out with my dad. He is 74 years old, about half the age of Dr. Patterson today, but he's getting up there in age, and my dad and I, we love to go fishing. We particularly like fly fishing. Now, let me tell you something about my dad and I's fishing trips. When we go on a fishing trip together and we're fly fishing together, my dad is completely incapable of fishing on his own. He will not catch a fish without me. We are in a boat, and when we're in a boat, I've got to row the boat right to where the fish are, and I've got to tell him, the fish are right there, Dad, so just throw your line in right there. Before he is able to throw the line in, I have to tie the flies on the line because he can't see the eyes in the hook to put the line in. So I've got to tie the flies on. I've got to tell him where to put it. I've got to tell him when the fish are striking on the end of that line. I've got to basically do everything for him to be able to catch a fish. He is not able to catch a fish without my help whatsoever. That is the grace of God at work in the follower of Jesus Christ. There's not a one of us who is capable of fishing for men without the grace of God strengthening our hearts. And the strength of God's grace begins in the invitation to us to simply know Christ, to know him and to walk with him, to be amazed and enamored at who he is, to be captured by his love and his favor towards us. God's grace to us is God's favor to us, to help us, without which we would otherwise fail and not find remedy for our failure. And yet God's grace, his favor, is toward us in Jesus Christ so that we find remedy for our sin, our lostness. We find hope and joy. We find life and purpose. It doesn't get more complicated. It doesn't get more serious than the perspective of grace. You need to keep on being strengthened in the grace which is in Jesus Christ if you're going to be a follower of Christ, if you're going to help others follow Christ, if you're going to be in the work of helping people. You need to be strengthened by grace because, frankly, people are hard. People are challenging. People can be frustrated. People can be fickle. It can be so difficult to work with people. I've discovered that churches are full of people. And it's hard work. I don't think we'll stick with the work of people business without grace. Because it's when I am strengthened in the grace of Christ that I recognize I too am difficult, frustrating, fickle, and broken. And yet God loved me. And if God so loved me and poured out his favor on me to rescue me from my sin, it is in my understanding of his grace towards me that I find in me the desire to keep pressing on in people work, the people who need the same grace that I have found. It's remarkable what God does when we see his grace. I remember several years ago, my cousin got his pilot's license, and I was a little bit nervous when he first asked me to go flying with him. A new pilot, small plane, a little scary. Felt a lot like it feels like to preach in seminary chapel. He asked me to go up with him to fly, and he wanted to do a night flight. And so here I am crawling into the cockpit of this very small Cessna airplane with a very new pilot flying up at night. And we're flying around over the city of Abilene, and I began to look at all the lights from the perspective, the vantage point of night flying. And you know, the lights of the Abilene Airport became all important to me. The light on the tower, the light on the wind turbines, the light on towers so that we would avoid hitting them, all of these lights that every single day of my life I've driven by, looked at, I didn't really care about, all of a sudden became immensely important. The vantage point changed everything. The grace of Jesus Christ in our lives is intended to change the vantage point so that we see the immense importance of being lights in the darkness. It's the grace of Jesus Christ in which we grow in strength through simply knowing and walking with Christ that gives us a vantage point to say, I want to give my life to help someone know Christ so that they might know how to help someone know Christ. It's being strengthened in grace that then enables me to take up this commission that is from Jesus Christ and is hard for me to help others know Christ so that they might help others know Christ, to take able and faithful people and entrust them with the truth so that they might teach others. The only way that that happens in our lives is if we are being continually strengthened in the grace of Jesus Christ. A lost person who has been found makes a wonderful seeker of the lost. And only being continually strengthened in the recognition of the grace of Jesus Christ strengthens the heart of the sinner who has been found to go out and find another sinner for the Savior of sinners. There is nothing like the display of grace, like the person who has been found by Christ, moved by the grace of Christ, to compel another person who's lost to see the grace that has saved him. Keep on being strengthened in the grace of God so that you might be the person who simply helps others know Christ so that they may help others know Christ. There is no finer description of what it means to follow Jesus. So far, so good, right? But Paul wants Timothy to know that the way of grace, the way of helping others follow Christ, is a way that is frequently seasoned by suffering. And so he encourages Timothy further, and he says in verse 3, endure hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets weaved into or entangled into the affairs of daily life so that he might please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. When someone competes as an athlete, he does not win if he does not compete according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should receive the first fruits. Consider what I'm saying. For the Lord will give you understanding in all these things. Paul gives three pictures here to Timothy in regard to suffering. As a follower of Jesus Christ, knowing full well himself that as he has endeavored to help others know Christ so that they can help others know Christ, that his life has been saturated with suffering. So he's telling Timothy, if you endeavor to simply follow Jesus, the way will be hard. So he says, I want you to come alongside me in this difficulty that's inflicted upon us as followers of Jesus Christ, as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. He's your commander. And if he has so ordered that the way of the follower of Christ is a way of suffering, don't mistake your suffering as anything less than the faithfulness of God. Psalm 119:75 says, it is the faithfulness of God that I was afflicted. Your afflictions as a follower of Christ is not a problem. It is the faithfulness of God and a way of grace you should embrace. The way of helping others know Christ so that they can help others know Christ is a way that in and of itself is more difficult. It's harder. Think about the last time you were sitting around in the evening and started thinking about the next morning and having breakfast and you decided, hey, I wonder if we still have some milk in the fridge. And you go over to the fridge and you open the fridge and you look in there, man, we're out of milk. We're not going to have cereal unless we get some milk. Somebody's got to go to the store and get milk. And so you decide, well, I'm going to go to the store and grab some milk. So you drive down to the convenience store, you grab the milk, you come back home, you put it in the refrigerator, and you think, man, I took care of my daily affairs. But you see, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you don't have the freedom to be on leave at any moment, to be concerned without daily affairs, without reference to your commander, Jesus Christ. So you're not allowed anymore just to go to the convenience store to get milk, because you're under the command of Jesus Christ, going to the convenience store to get milk, which is a necessity for your life, is something you are not doing in and of itself for yourself. You are now doing what you do under the command of Jesus, and so all that you do is now a vehicle for obeying the commands of your commander. So when you drive up at the convenience store as one under the command of Jesus, you say to yourself, Lord, is it possible that this evening the fact that we ran out of milk has more to do with your kingdom than our need? Could it be this evening that you have a divine appointment with the worker in the convenience store? Maybe somebody is going to be also forgetful and need to come in here at the same moment I come in here. Lord, you've planted me where I live, when I live, to be a soldier for the gospel And everything I do in every moment is not about my affairs anymore. It's about you and your commands. And I want people to know you so that they can help other people know you. And so when I walk in to get milk, I'm going to recognize in this moment that's simply a vehicle that might produce an ordained moment by you for me to simply display the love of Christ and proclaim the gospel of Christ so that someone might be able to follow you. When you live like that, I mean, that's not easy, right? When you live like that, it's harder. It's more difficult. When nothing in your life is for you, like think about your hobbies. As people who are under the commission of Christ, as good soldiers of Jesus, we don't get to do hobbies because we like to do hobbies. We have no time where there is leave. We are always soldiers of Christ. That doesn't mean that you can't have a hobby. It just means you need to ask your commander how you might use your hobby to help someone know Christ in such a way that they might help someone know Christ. It's a harder way, but it's the way of grace. We see this picture of the athlete who is competing to win. You know, I love athletics. I cannot stand the recent trend in kids' athletics where nobody wins. I don't understand that. My kids did that, you know, and they didn't keep score. You know, officially, my kids knew who won, who lost. They kept every point, and they were excited when they won. They gloated, and they were frustrated when they lost, and you can't take that out of the athlete. The athlete loves to win, competes to win. If you're not competing to win, why are you even competing? But the athlete never looks at the rules and say, you know, the rules are a real problem here. No, the athlete looks at the rules of the game and said, this is the avenue through which we win. When it comes to following Jesus Christ and helping others know him in such a way that they might help others know him, suffering is the rules in which Jesus Christ has created the game of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. This is the avenue for winning in the kingdom of God. There is not a problem when suffering occurs. There's not a problem when you take your first church and that church is a messed up place. This is the rules in which we live to take the gospel of grace to our world. Suffering is the way to winning in the kingdom. We shouldn't be bothered by that. We shouldn't think something's wrong when we suffer. We should instead see it as the rules that Christ has designed this side of heaven for the gospel to be on display through his servant. He says the farmer is deserving of the first share of the crops. When a farmer stands at the edge of his field and he looks at his field, he sees a vision of two things. He sees the vision of the toil and the hardship that awaits him. And he sees a vision of the harvest. The farmer does not sit there at the edge of his field and say, you know, I see the harvest is possible, but you know what? The vision of the difficulty, of the hardship and the toil of actually sowing the seed and cultivating the seed, it's far too much. I'm not going to actually work in the field this year. He doesn't say that. He says, I don't know what difficulties will come. I don't know what equipment will fail. I don't know what the weather's going to do. I don't know what challenges are going to come my way. Whatever comes, whatever difficulties I encounter, I see a vision of the harvest so clearly that the toil and hardship is simply the avenue to the harvest, and I will embrace it. I will live in it because I believe in the joy of the harvest. When you stand at the edge of your field, in the midst of your people group, do you see the hardship that you are encountering and conclude the harvest is not worth it? Jesus Christ is compelling us to see the worth of the harvest and count the toil of the labor as joyful exercise of grace. There is simply nothing greater than the way of grace, seasoned with suffering, through which we help another know Christ in such a way that they might help another know Christ. In case you need more encouragement, Paul is not done. He says to Timothy, consider what I've said, for Christ will give you, the Lord will give you understanding in all things. You know, one of the most challenging aspects of following Christ is the difficulty we encounter. Why did this happen to me? Lord, I'm trying to follow you with everything I am, and it seems like to me if I'm trying this hard to follow you that things would be better. I mean, difficulty and suffering creates lots of questions in our hearts. And what we need to embrace is the reality that God's love is not less on display towards us when we suffer. It's an avenue of his grace that is just as gracious as an avenue of non-suffering. He has redeemed the brokenness that we encounter in our life so that through that very brokenness, we might experience his purpose, love, and grace to a degree that is far beyond what we can imagine, that captures our hearts even in the midst of difficulty, but it does not erase the fact that it leaves some questions in our hearts and minds. But Paul encourages us here. The Lord is encouraging you today to know that there's coming a day when whatever questions you have related to the difficulty you've encountered as a follower of Jesus Christ, it'll all come together. And you, along with Jesus Christ, will say, the ways of God are right and good. God will give you understanding. You've got to decide to hang on long enough for that day to come. And then Paul says to Timothy, he says, remember Jesus Christ, who's risen from the dead, from the seed of David, according to my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to bonds, as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. He says, if you're dealing with suffering as every follower of Christ will to one degree or another as you follow Christ, remember Jesus who rose from the dead. He suffered far greater than you will ever suffer. He overcame every bit of that suffering. He is now alive from the seed of David. He is the risen, reigning King. He will relieve your suffering. You can trust him. He cares about where you hurt, and he has hurt before you. Now he hurts along with you, and he has the remedy for your pain, and he will deliver his promises. Paul says, I'm in prison right now. Don't miss this fact. I'm in prison right now. I'm bound up as a criminal. And all I have done is proclaimed Christ. I don't think we have a lot to complain about. Look at what Jesus has done. Paul's saying, look at me. I've got nothing to complain about. And I'm in prison as a criminal because I know what Christ has done for me. And let me tell you what Christ does with one who is suffering for him. He says, I'm bound up, but guess what? The word of God is not bound. Here's what God does with suffering. You may find yourself squashed by suffering, squelched by suffering. You may find yourself in a situation you think, how can God use me in this pain and difficult? And we need to be reminded that the platform of suffering is the place often where the word of God propels into the darkness of the world. I'm bound, Paul says, but don't make mistake thinking that hinders the word of God. It's quite the contrary. My binding has been the unbinding of the word of God to go forth to do what God can do when his followers embrace a way of grace. And so Paul finishes this great encouragement by saying, on account of this, I endure all things for the sake of the chosen, so that they might obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He says, I'm able to endure whatever comes because I see the joy of the harvest. I understand what it means to give my life for the sake of someone knowing Christ, so that they might be able to help someone know Christ. There is no greater way of grace, even seasoned by suffering. It is no less gracious. And he says, I'm willing to go through anything and everything because I want people to be saved. Is there anyone in this room today who is not here because someone entrusted you with truth. I mean, are we not all here in this moment because someone came alongside us long before we were considered to be faithful or able and just entrusted us with truth? And we'd found in ourselves a grace at work that caused us to want to know Christ. And guess what? That person just encouraged us to follow Christ. And the next thing we know, we're sitting here together and we're considering what it means to follow Christ. So do you want to be a pastor? Do you want to be a teacher, a missionary, a leader in the church? Keep on being strengthened in the grace of Jesus Christ. And simply help another person know Christ so that they can help someone else know Christ and see the difficulty of our call as the avenue of God's gracious love. There is no better way to spend your life. You and I know there's much more to being a preacher, a missionary, a teacher than just this. Much more. But you will never become that much more if you are simply not this one thing: a follower of Christ who gives his or her life in the midst of every difficulty to help someone know Christ so that they might help someone know Christ. Do you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Or do you just like all the tools? There is no greater way to spend your life.